Matt!
Huh?
Matt!
Who's it?
Matt! Matt!
Hey,
Matt! Oh!
what?
Oh, dude, I've been standing in this Olive Garden parking lot for like 24 hours just shouting your name, hoping at some point you would want
I was
unlimited
busy.
breadsticks.
I
You were
was, yeah,
busy.
it was breadsticks. It was breadsticks and Alfredo sauce. And I kept dipping them over and over, and it was a never ending cycle of breadsticks and sauce.
Oh my
I
goodness.
can't get out of it.
Dude, so what happened? Did you get like abducted too?
Yeah,
You got
by the
abducted
Olive
too?
Garden.
Oh, by the so the aliens at you didn't get any aliens. You didn't lose time or anything.
Maybe. I mean, I've been eating breadsticks for a
You've
while.
literally been eating breadsticks for like 3 months.
Okay. Maybe I've been stuck in a time loop because it feels like I've been in there 45 minutes.
What? Okay, hold on. Let me just go in there real quick and see something.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hey,
Okay, I. What's that?
grab some breadsticks.
Okay, hold on. I'll be right back. Okay, here. I got some breadsticks and I talked to
Did
the
you get the
manager.
sauce or?
I got the sauce. Apparently, all their clocks are broken.
Oh, well, I mean, that
They
explains it, right?
said they've been waiting for the clock guy, but he's like 3 months late.
Clock guys.
I know, they're always late. Well, hey,
Ridiculous, right?
since I found you, I
Yeah.
was hanging out with Chris and I said I'd come find you. Do you want to record a podcast?
I mean, I'd love to.
All right, man, then let's do it.
Okay.
Shut up and sit down.
Hey, how are my people today?
Hey, I'm Chris.
And I'm Corey.
And this is Film Nerd.
We would be honored if you would join us.
And here we go.
All right. Hello and welcome to Film Narc. We are back from a brief hiatus, and I've located Matt. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Full, very full.
Yes, that is a lot of breadsticks.
Well,
just well. All right. Well, maybe we should get started on the Daily Snitch.
Do it.
Should we get to tell the cops?
What little Bitey told me.
The Daily Snitch.
All right, now, you didn't hear this from me, but John Wick, the movie series,
yes,
is in potential talks of doing a TV show.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I've read a couple of articles. The director... or I think, is it multiple directors?
Yeah,
that are talking
like,
about doing this.
Yeah, it's like the people who started the franchise, so all the creative people involved.
Right. So they talked about potentially doing a show, and there's a lot of if ands, like if and this and if and that, about like syndicated television versus like a Netflix sort of a deal, or.
Yeah.
Like an HBO or some other type of a thing, and that's going to limit what they can really do with the franchise. Because if it goes syndicated, they're not going to be able to do quite as much story and violence, and they're not really going to be able to do a lot of those crazy amazing fight scenes that we've seen in the movies.
Yeah.
So I think they're really hoping for like a Netflix sort of a deal. That's kind of what the articles that I've read have been leaning towards. But there's nothing set in stone right now. Nothing is. It's on IMDb, you know, like as a potential.
Yeah.
And the articles are stating that that they're in talks, but they're not saying with who and how long or what it's going to be about or anything like that. So I'm excited. But a little hesitant, because if it does go to like a network television, I think it's kind of going to ruin it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But if
agree
it goes
with that.
Like Netflix, it's going to be amazing.
I kind of feel like it may be one of those things that it seems like a really good idea at the time, but then it's too much. The thing that I like about John Wick is how unique it is, and the action and the whole idea of the hotel and all these assassin groups and like secret hotels that they have. I love that. I think if they do a TV show, they need to not have John Wick in it. And I think it should just be stories of these assassin hotels and things that are kind of going on. If they focus more on that, I feel like that'd be really interesting. But
that could be interesting.
But I feel like it's too perfect for a movie, because you get a little bit and you get to watch it and you get to enjoy it, and then you want more, instead of having so much out there on this thing to where it's kind of like, all right, now it's too much.
Sure.
You know, so that's where I'm a little hesitant.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I totally get that.
All right, now you didn't hear this from me, but the brand new Star Wars Episode 8 released their title, The Last Jedi.
Ooh.
Yeah, so of course I'm real excited. And apparently due to other translations and explanations that have gone out for multiple posters all around the world, the big mystery has been, is this plural or singular? Because Jedi could be plural or singular.
Sure.
And not super spoilery, but apparently in these translations, it is plural.
Hmm.
So, it could be Luke and Rey. It could be maybe Rey and Kylo. It could be Luke, Rey, and Kylo. It could be any mixture of them. But Luke Skywalker was referred to as the Last Jedi during the opening crawl of Force Awakens.
Sure.
So, you know, there's lots of pieces to it, but hopefully everything goes well for Luke, and I hope they don't make Kylo go good, because we need a really good, strong villain, and I don't think we need to confuse it with the prior movie where Darth Vader became good.
Okay, yeah.
So hopefully that's what we get, and hopefully we get to see Luke really kick some butt since his glaring at the TV screen at the end of Force.
I know, right? A little disappointing, but still excited to see him.
Yeah. I mean, great cut to be like, okay, now super amped to see the next one.
Exactly.
It was a
good, we know that most decision. Of the cast is going to be in that movie as well.
Yes.
Kylo, Rey, Ren, Finn, all those guys are going to be are going to be in the movie. In fact, I saw a little video that that somebody posted about a trailer leak that they had heard from someone else. So sort of like a third party account of what was happening. And it's sort of like they were trying to explain like what was in that trailer.
Yeah.
It was very convoluted and confusing, but they did mention that they saw Finn and what's the pilot's name?
Poe.
That's right. In the opening portion of that trailer.
Hmm. Interesting.
So,
There's been a lot of stories leaking out about it.
Well, not to stop you right there.
Yeah.
But stop.
Okay.
Because you didn't hear this from me.
Oh, okay.
But they're doing a Scarface remake.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, what's his name?
Diego Luna?
That's the one. He's going to be, what's his face? You know.
I was waiting for you to say Mr. Scarface. Because
Mr. Scarface.
I found this out minutes ago. Matt hasn't seen the original Scarface.
Right. I was literally looking up right now, and my phone was a little slow. So I was trying to sound like I knew what I was talking about. Here's the thing. I actually don't.
Yeah, you actually
Tony
don't.
Montoya, Tana. Tony Montana Toya.
Tony Montana. Now I can't say it because you're saying it so weird. I feel like this is another grab for Hollywood just remaking things to remake them because it has a name and they can make money.
I agree. Not having seen the other movie, I can't really say that it's going to be either better or worse or anything like that. But what they do say about it is it's going to be set in a different setting. It's going to be a different sort of crime boss sort of a uprising. It's definitely still going to be a minority rising to power rather than whoever. What did they say in the article? It's moving from Miami to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And he is Mexican instead of Cuban. So,
yeah,
there you go.
So good for Diego Luna. He was in Rogue One. He was the main guy, Cassian. So good for him for getting other movies. And Scarface is a pretty big title, pretty big movie, which is cool.
Sure.
But why don't they just make a crime movie and call it something else? They're only sticking Scarface on this to make money. Like,
right.
It's really annoying. Just trust the actor, trust the script, trust the director and the producers, and don't make it Scarface. Make a good movie and have it stand on its own merits.
I agree wholeheartedly. That's happening a lot lately.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
I mean, how many more Spider-Mans do we need?
Well, hey now. We need a Tom Holland Spider-Man.
No, it's true. It's true. But that's just an example.
He's the best
of
one.
That's just an example of like what's happening right now.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So Matt,
yeah,
I do have a question for you.
Oh,
super mega question, fantastico.
Okay, so Beauty and the Beast is coming out, the live action version of the animated hit film. My question is, what animated movie should go live action?
Okay, and I have an answer for you.
Hit me. It could be an animated TV show also, if you'd like.
No.
Okay.
No. I'm sticking to the classics, okay?
Go for it.
Don't berate me.
I was? Okay.
It's, and I'm going to preface this with, I thought of this before I looked it up.
Nice.
Okay. I thought of this before I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mulan. Mulan, one of my favorite Disney movies.
Nice. Which they are doing.
So
you nailed it.
I saw it on IMDb, and I was like, oh, crap, they are making this. There's no cast or anything for it right now, but they are definitely making it. It's one of those movies, like, you can't really do Toy Story, right? Because live action, it would be kind of weird, right, with all the toys and stuff. And then you'd have, like, super tall, real people or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So things like that don't really work very well. So
human
I was trying
beings.
To think of like a, what?
They call them human beings. Yeah.
Peoples. People. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think, I came up with two more options.
Okay.
And that is The Incredibles. Cause I thought, okay, superhero vein that's going on right now. A lot of superhero movies being made. And The Incredibles is just a great movie.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be really fun. They could play with like the powers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's real people. So, and then the other one, because I figured you might pick something, which I'm going to let you get to in a second. But so I chose something different, which is Coraline.
Oh,
and if you've
nice.
Seen that movie... it is just people. It's claymation and all that kind of stuff. But when they go into the other world and stuff, really the only thing that's different other than, the night sky and some of the aesthetics is just the button eyes.
Yeah.
So it'd be pretty easy to do a live action version of that movie. And I think that would be great.
Yeah. So I'm assuming the other one you were thinking of was Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be super gnarly live action.
It'd be so cool.
It wasn't on my list.
It'd be hard to do.
It would be hard to
do. So hard to do.
But, I mean, they're doing Lion King in, like, a live-action sort of all-CG thing, which makes no sense to me.
Well, kind of like The Jungle Book, then. That's not too far-fetched, really.
Yeah, but there's at least, like, a live person. In this one, they're like, here's Lion King hand-drawn. Now here's Lion King computer drawn. Like,
it's all right.
Super weird.
You got me there.
You'd take something where there is no real life thing. I don't know. But
what's on your list?
What's on my list? I'm digging deep in the Disney well for a movie called Black Cauldron.
Oh yeah.
Very dark, animated, old Disney movie. Lots of adult themes, really creepy. But, man, if they're going to bring that back, totally do it live action. I think it would be amazing. I think also, I didn't want to pick a bunch of Disney ones because they're doing a bunch, like Aladdin and all that.
I know. That was what was so hard to choose. I'm like, dang.
Yeah. So I decided to dip a bit into TV because once I thought of it, I was like, oh, yes, they need to make a live action, use CG to create the world and some of the characters. But, Matt, I know you'll agree with me on this. How sick would a live action Adventure Time be?
Oh, dude, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be outstanding?
That'd be so amazing.
That'd be such an epic movie.
Because really, the only thing you got to do CG is Lady Rainicorn and Jake.
Yep.
I mean, pretty much everything else. Princess would be kind of hard. But... Yeah.
A lot of the like scenery and areas and battle stuff, you'd have to kind of go CG for like the candy people, I guess. But a lot of the locations could be very kind of like that vivid CG and just kind of make it really pop. But have a live action Jake and other characters with these big epic battles on screen.
That'd be so amazing.
I think it'd be pretty awesome.
Marceline and the Ice King would be pretty easy. Yep. And Tom Kenny could still play the Ice King.
Yeah.
I think that's his name, isn't it?
Yeah.
That does SpongeBob and he does the Ice King. But he's like, yeah, that would be so amazing.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty so awesome. Sick. Either that or Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty. Samurai Jack would be a good one, too.
That one with the crazy battles would be kind of hard, I think.
Yeah.
It'd look more like He is Legend or something like that, just for all the CG, you know, like crazy amounts of things that he fights.
Yeah.
That one would be tough, but it would be cool.
Rick and Morty would be interesting.
That one also would be kind of hard with all the scenery. But still, Adventure Time, I think that's a good pull. Because that would be so amazing. I'd love that.
Yeah, I think that one would be good. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for this first half of our show. We're going to jump over to some commercials, and then we will be right back.
Scooby-dee-boop-boop-a-dee-boop-a-dee-boop. Hello. Welcome to this commercial break. The podcast that we're doing right now as we speak.
As we speak.
Perception Check is our other podcast that we do. I know it's been a little while on this one, but we're keeping up on our other one. You can find that at perceptioncheckpodcast.com.
.com.
And we'll have our Facebook and Twitter up here very, very shortly. But we are playing an actual play D&D podcast.
Big time
We're
nerds.
Recording with Corey, Chris from Film Narc, my wife Adrian, and my brother Josh.
And who knows what other distant relatives of Matt's will pop up to play.
Maybe my uncle. Maybe two uncles. Maybe six people that we don't know.
Maybe his two uncles will merge together to form a super uncle.
That's right. And if you listen, you may just find out the mystery. The end. of the commercial break.
All right, and welcome back.
Hello.
So, lovely commercial. That was great.
Thank you.
So, Matt, when I talked to Chris, I had asked him a couple questions, so I just kind of wanted to get your input so you didn't feel left out.
Okay.
What movie trailers have you seen in this Olive Garden bender that you've been excited about?
Well, I'm limited to the Wi-Fi, so not a lot.
Oh, okay.
But Dimitri Martin is playing in a new movie called Dean, where he's kind of playing sort of himself in a way. But it's just kind of like a sort of dark comedy, sort of a not necessarily family movie, but it looks really, really good. I just watched the trailer because it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah.
But if you like Dimitri Martin, I think you're going to like this movie. It's got a lot of other people in it that I didn't bother to look up, but when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, he's in it. Yeah, she's in it. Great. So that's my one recommendation for right now. Honestly, there's a lot of just like horror or suspense thriller sort of stuff coming out that I'm not super interested in right now.
Yeah.
I would like to see how King Arthur pans out.
Yeah. With Guy Ritchie, it could be interesting.
Yeah. So that's the other one that I would say, it might be worth it to, we'll have to see when the next trailer comes out, how it's going to look. The rest of them, I mean, Adam Sandler's doing a new movie, that looks pretty bad, pretty awful.
Yeah, you had some trailer trash items.
Yeah, I do have a few of those. It just like that, the movie that's already out, I think it's already out, called Fist Fight. It just looks awful. Absolutely awful. And I know I said this before, but I'm kind of changing my mind a little bit. I'm hoping that the Goon trailer that has come out, I hope they release another one or something, because it really doesn't look that great. And I love Goon so much that I'm hoping that this doesn't kind of ruin it.
Yeah.
The other one that looks pretty not great is the Ottoman Lieutenant, with the guy from Pearl Harbor, Josh something. Hartnett, I think is the name.
Joshman.
Joshman. I think that might be it, actually. But it just, like, a lot of these movies that are coming out, I don't know. Like, I'm just not, like, super into right now. I wouldn't call them trash necessarily. I just not great right now.
Yeah.
I'm not super excited about a whole lot of stuff as we speak. Except for, you know, new Marvel stuff or, you know, new, I don't know. It's just, nothing's really catching my fancy, really. The one thing I did want to talk about quickly is the controversy over Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. What are your thoughts?
Well, have you seen the animes? I think there's like six of them. I know I've seen at least three of them.
Yeah, I haven't really.
And they're good. I guess my concern is with going live action, can they really nail down all of the story? And if they don't, are they going to try to make it into a series? And if they do, is it going to be good enough that they will
follow through and make them?
Yeah, exactly. So you have stuff like Ex Machina, which was amazing, right?
Yeah.
And then you have something like Ghost in the Shell, which people just love, and it's really a toss-up as to whether or not it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I think that's about it for me.
Okay. What kind of shows are you streaming right now?
Well, I'm digging in deep. The old school. I am watching Star Trek The Next Generation.
What are you watching it on?
I'm watching it on Netflix.
Nice.
Some episodes are really great and some episodes are kind of whatever. And they use the same sort of themes over and over. But it's entertaining and I always love seeing Patrick Stewart and what's his name? Geordi LaForge. I can't remember his real name.
Yeah.
LeVar Burton.
Sure. Reading Rainbow.
Yeah. I don't know. That's one of the shows that I'm streaming right now. I've mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again, because if you haven't seen it and you love Adventure Time, you have to watch Bravest Warriors. It's on YouTube, Bravest Warriors. It's so good. It's so, so good. I've seen it twice all the way through, and I'm watching it again. So, nice. Just because they're going to be coming up with some new episodes very shortly. So, I'm getting prepared for the story because it really does have a story that you need to follow. So, other than that, I mean, we started to watch, Adrian and I started to watch Luke Cage, which people have been, recommending.
Nice.
And I'm finally, on track to watch that. And it's pretty good so far. I think we're about 6 or 7 episodes in. What's coming out that I'm really excited for is MST3 with Jonah Ray. I'm super, super excited about that. It's coming out pretty soon, I think. But I haven't found anything that says anything about a release date.
Yeah. I don't know. But, man, I've been watching so much stuff with Chris. I talked about how Golden Girls is on Hulu. We've been watching a lot of that, me and my wife. We're getting back into that great show. So everyone should watch it.
I want to mention also, I saw all of A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Oh, on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, and because I talked about it before about how excited I was for it.
Yeah.
And it was super, super good. So
yeah, I've only seen the first episode.
It's so good. Just keep watching because it gets better and better and better. I think the later episodes are even better than the first ones.
Oh, awesome.
And they do the narration thing pretty much the entire time, all the way through.
That's perfect. I love the first episode.
I just love the way the show is made.
Yeah.
And yeah, so sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure.
Well, from the last one, I did finish Santa Clarita Diet on Netflix.
Oh,
Is
it good?
Really, really good. Last episode, little disappointing how they ended it. It wasn't as good of a ending as I had hoped. It just kind of stops. But but otherwise, incredible show. So many people turned it off like 10 minutes in, and I was like, no, I almost did the same thing. Finish the first episode and you'll be hooked. Which the first 10 minutes they do completely on purpose, and it doesn't make sense until you see the rest. So when you watch it, stay with it.
All right.
But yeah, lots of great shows on there. Matt, do you want to do a super special scene selection?
I do, but I want to mention two more things.
Oh yeah, no, go ahead.
Quickly, and that is, Chef's Table, if you are into food.
Yeah, Chris loves
and you
that
like
show.
That kind of stuff. That show is really, really good. They just came out with new episodes, so yes. I suggest watching that. It's just beautifully shot, and the stories that they tell from the chefs that tell them, because I'm not explaining it very well, but there's some episodes that are dubbed over because they don't speak in English. So the retelling of how they prepare the food and what it means to them and all that kind of stuff is really, really cool. I'm currently watching the first episode of the newest season, and it's really, really good. And secondly is we're trying to get into it a little bit more. I don't know how I feel about it yet, so I don't know if I can really recommend it. But there's a show called Between. It's got the gal from iCarly. Not Carly, but the other one.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember her name. I wish I could because she was on the Nerdist podcast and she was really, really great. But I just can't remember her name, unfortunately. But Between, it's sort of like a virus hits a town and all that's left is just the kids. And so they have to survive and they're being quarantined off.
Jeez.
So it's kind of interesting. I have a couple of problems with it, and it mostly has to do with the characters and the characters' choices.
Does it just not feel how they are. Oh, okay. So it doesn't really feel realistic to the person? Or
I guess that's a better... Yeah, because they just... I don't know, you'd think that they would make different decisions, and they don't. And you're like, well, even as a kid, you'd be like, okay, that's just a dumb thing to do. So anyway, that's the last thing I'll do.
Okay. All right, then we will jump into scene selections.
Scene selections.
Scene selections.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, so for the special edition of Scene Selections, we decided to do the Star Wars original trilogy with all the information coming out about The Last Jedi getting a title.
Yes.
And we all picked a movie. Chris did as well, and I actually recorded his choices. I'll kind of play those for you here, Matt, so you can hear him too.
Okay.
Chris, we're going to do a scene selection.
I'm going to go with A New Hope. I'm going to go with the original.
A New Hope? Okay, so what are your top three scenes from A New Hope?
Okay, the first one is...
Starting at number three.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's been a while. From three to one is in, like, least great to best.
Yes.
All right.
Well, it's top three. I mean, there's amazing scenes. It's the top three best scenes.
Right. Almost the entire... Like, basically the whole time that he and
Skywalker, it's hard to say.
And I'm so embarrassed. Oh my gosh.
Obi-Wan Kenobi?
No, don't say any names because I know his name, but if I don't say it, I just don't want people to know the name that I'm actually blanking on because it's like the most famous person ever.
Han Solo.
Yes. Harrison Ford's character, Han Solo.
He's dead now, so who cares?
That name was not in my head.
When he died inside you.
Shh, spoilers. That's kind of still a spoiler.
I haven't seen The Force Awakens.
That's possible.
You don't deserve to live.
Okay, so anyhow, number three is when they're in the... they're rescuing the princess.
Okay.
And basically that includes the trash compactor.
Oh, yeah.
That includes her saying, "You're a little short for a stormtrooper." Like, that whole scene is just... Lee that's
is
when
just
I
being
was,
a badass.
That's when I was 100% into the movie at that point. Number two would be... maybe just at the end when they're getting the medals and stuff. Or when... there's a heartfelt, like, love there. Yeah. And it's like, okay, this is a community of people now. And that's when they kind of come together and they're all smiling
at each other.
And you find out
R2-D2's okay.
Yep. He's all clean and C-3PO has his new shine and it's all great. It's a classic happy ending and that means a lot to me.
Number one.
The best scene is going to have to be the trench run. Especially when Han Solo shows up in the Millennium Falcon and shoots the TIE fighters away.
Time.
You think he left and he shows up again. And I just, that movie to me is...
And you get Darth Vader's best quotable line that you can find a soundbite of, which is, "What?"
That whole movie is just very, very... It kicked the whole thing off.
Yeah,
you know, without that movie, none of it's possible. And that was one of the movies that I watched the most as a kid growing up. I just watched that one over and over again. And it's so good. It's got a lot of replay value. Those three scenes alone are basically the whole story of the movie.
Yeah.
But then you have so much more with, like, Luke and him becoming a Jedi. So, yeah, it just, I really love that movie. I love all the movies, but those three scenes really envelop, like, the whole storyline for me.
So Matt, do you want to go first with your number three? First of all, what movie did you go with of the original trilogy?
Okay, well, I went with Return of the Jedi.
Nice.
Yes. I don't know if it's my favorite, but I love all the original trilogy.
Mm.
Every movie has its strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
So number three, can I do... As I always do, over the top, way too much, honorable mentions.
I'm not going to have an issue with Star Wars honorable mentions.
So, Honorable mentions, I have three of them. Okay. I'll just do them really quickly. So the Death Star blowing up and the Millennium Falcon coming out of the exhaust port.
Yeah.
And that big explosion. This happens only in the newer editions of the movie. When you get the better special effects and stuff.
Yeah.
But I just love seeing the Millennium Falcon. secondly, Darth Vader contemplates if he's making the right decision when he's turning Luke over to the Emperor.
Oh,
I love when he does that. And he has this little, like, he stands on the rail and he's like, did I do the right thing?
Yeah.
Like, so it looks right. Moment. There is some good in him, you know? And then the Endor speeder chase scene.
Yeah.
Because every single time I watch the movie, I laugh when the stormtrooper hits the tree upside down splats onto the ground.
I feel so bad for that stunt double.
It makes me laugh every time. And then the theme throughout the entire movie is just everything blows up. So, like, three more speeders, like, blow up into trees. And then, like, so I just love that whole scene.
Yeah.
So here's my number three.
Okay.
And I until now hadn't decided which order these were going to go in.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to go with the beginning of the movie where Han and Chewie reunite. Han's still blinded. He can't see. But Chewie's hugging him and he's like, yeah. No, it's okay. I'm fine. Blah, blah, blah. So I their relationship, I just love.
It's so perfect.
I just love that. And that's my perfect number three for me. Were you going to go next or are we going back and forth?
Yeah. Go ahead and go through them.
Okay. All right. So number two is, it has to be the lightsaber duel.
Wow, that was actually my number one.
Okay.
For Return of the Jedi.
It's a great lightsaber fight. It's a little bit it's long. So you get quite a bit of it. And you get a little bit of the action back on Endor, and then you get a little bit of action back in there, and then Luke's hiding and all of that kind of stuff. And then of course, you know, the ending where Vader decides to be good and save Luke. So the whole lightsaber fight.
That whole lightsaber fight is great because you get to see Darth Vader find out about his daughter and threaten to go after her. And Luke gives into the dark side just enough, goes right over to that brink and just lets loose his anger on Darth Vader and chops off his hand. And then he sees him and that's that realization. And my favorite part of Return of the Jedi is when the Emperor says, kill him. And Luke turns around, turns off his lightsaber and says, no, and tosses it. And he says, I'm a Jedi like my father before me. And that moment,
I just got goosebumps.
I know that moment is the biggest moment to me. So when the new movies were coming out and people were like, oh, Luke's going to be the bad guy. Oh, Kylo Ren is going to be Luke. And all this theory, I was like, no, absolutely not. Because the moment Luke becomes a bad guy, that huge, heavy, amazing moment becomes pointless.
I agree.
And I was like, and they cannot do that.
Yep.
So I love that moment. So now I'm really interested in what your number one is.
Okay. I think you're going to be not that surprised, but it is Darth Vader's Jedi funeral. When they put him on the pile and they burn the body.
Yeah.
This happens in Phantom Menace to Qui-Gon Jinn. This is the funeral held for Jedi. So Luke is giving his father the honor of giving him a Jedi funeral, even though he's gone over to the dark side.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a really cool, heartfelt, touching moment. That he still believed in his father so much that he would do that for him. I mean, and the whole time, you know, this leads from the lightsaber battle all the way into the ship. And then, you know, you don't see it in the movie, but he carries his body all the way to the ship and then he carries it onto the ship. And then he takes the ship down to Endor, and then he does the funeral. I mean, it's a long process, if you're thinking about it, to honor his father. And I just think that's one of the greatest scenes in the entire movie.
Yeah, that is an amazing scene. And, you know, it all kind of starts because Luke has this feeling the entire time. But as a viewer, you really start to get the feeling about Darth Vader from when he's on that railing talking to Luke in Return of the Jedi that you talked about in your honorable mention, because I love the way he words when he goes, it's too late for me, or something like that. He says that to
that
Luke.
That was almost in my top.
Yeah, I love that, because they could have chose any dialogue for him to be like, I'm just super evil, or no, it's the way of the dark side, or something like that. But he doesn't say that. He says, it's too late for me. So there's part of him that's like, I would like to, but I can't.
Right.
And I urge anyone super into the Darth Vader story to read the Marvel Darth Vader comics. I've read all the ones that have been released. They are incredible. And what they capture in the comics is the moment Darth Vader realizes that Luke is his son.
Yeah.
Which they don't capture that really in the movies, like that realization and what that means. But they capture it in the comic. And I was tearing up reading it because they nail it. The comic's really good.
I have to read those. I haven't read them.
Oh, really good.
Oh, and also on a side note, and I know you're just going to berate me for this, I have not seen Rogue One yet.
Oh, so good.
I just haven't been able to, I wasn't able to get to the movie theater, and it's not on streaming yet, so.
It's okay. It's okay. I just don't let anyone spoil the ending for you.
No, I've been pretty in the dark about it, so I'm okay.
That's good. I was going to say one of the things that would have been on my list for Return of the Jedi was the Ewok death.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, because I think that scene...
You get these funny, furry little creatures who are just running around. They're basically causing all this crazy death and destruction to the
And it's super kid-friendly, this entire movie. I mean, it feels like a toy plug the entire movie, but there's that one scene where they explode and the other one goes back and kind of shakes it and then, like, puts its head on the other Ewok.
It's so sad.
It is the most heartbreaking scene in probably film history, seeing these poor little teddy bears upset that one got killed, because it's just kind of out of nowhere in this movie.
It is. But and then they go right back to just doing all the crazy stuff all over again. It was like a weird scene that almost,
moment
like...
of levity that just really... put everything in perspective for that second. All right. So obviously that leaves me.
Do you have a worst moment of the movie?
Worst moment of the movie.
Tell you what mine is.
What's your worst moment?
My worst moment of the movie is when, right after the Jedi funeral for Darth Vader, Luke looks over and he sees Yoda and he sees Obi-Wan. And then in the new version, Anakin Skywalker in there. And it just pisses me off.
It pisses me off because that's the one scene for that actor to where he was like, hey, there's me in the movie. And now he's like, well, yep, nope.
And like, honestly, I've seen the new version so many times, I can't remember what the original version had.
Yeah.
Did it have...
Had the actor that is Darth Vader in the suit as the ghost of Anakin, which makes sense because he wouldn't be super young. Like, old Ben Kenobi's there.
So, like, my only other question, and just since we're on the topic, why did James Earl Jones why wasn't he in the suit?
I don't know. I guess it would have been kind of strange for Luke Skywalker to be his son.
I don't know. I mean, he had so much makeup on and stuff that it wouldn't have mattered, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I just think about that kind of a weird choice. They clearly did, like, voiceover, because you can see a lot of the scenes throughout the entire trilogy. You'll see Darth Vader making, like, hand gestures and stuff, but it doesn't match up to the what do they call that, ADR?
Yeah, I feel really bad I don't remember his name. I think there's actually a documentary on Netflix about the guy, and it's killing me. I don't remember his name. But the guy in the Darth Vader suit actually did the voice on stage, and he thought he was going to be the voice of Darth Vader. And you can actually probably YouTube David Prowse. YouTube his original audio of what he sounded like as Darth Vader. And so he went to see this movie and thought he was going to be like, I'm Darth Vader, and it's James Earl Jones' voice coming out of it. He had no idea.
He didn't know?
Nope. And then when they got to Return of the Jedi, he thought he would be the dude in the suit as Darth Vader. But then they shot that scene without him there. And it wasn't him as Darth Vader. So he kind of got screwed completely.
Oh, so the guy in Return of the Jedi is not him?
Nope. It's him all the way up until that point.
Dude.
And apparently the documentary is someone trying to find him and get him to reshoot the ending of Return of the Jedi of him in the suit doing the lines. Because they felt like he deserved it. And I don't know if they ever find him and do it, but I've been wanting to watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. I'm sorry, what were you
going to
say?
No, I was going to say I'm kind of left with the last movie, which is the middle movie, Empire Strikes Back. Which is my favorite.
It's everyone's favorite, isn't it?
Well, not everyone's. But some people like Return of the Jedi better because they were kids watching them and they connected with that one more. Some people like the first one better because it was the beginning. But Empire Strikes Back is that perfect middle note. Honorable mentions. My honorable mention has to be, first of all, John Ratzenberger. For on Hoth, when they're like, oh, Han's still out there, and they're like, oh, we got to close the doors, and then Chewie does his rawr as the doors close.
Yeah.
John Ratzenberger is in there, the voice of Ham from Toy Story, the dude from Cheers, Cliff Clavin from Cheers. He's there in the background, and you can see him perfectly clear with his old school mustache, and it is, I think he has like one line, but it is hilarious to me that he's just hiding in that movie as someone so recognizable. So he's definitely one of my honorable mentions.
Nice.
Another one of my honorable mentions are it's hard choosing a scene because sounds have a lot to do with this movie. And
oh,
in
sure.
terms of the probe droid and that like that noise it does, the tauntaun and the there's so many scenes where the sound kind of trips it for you and you're like, oh, this is amazing. But
I'm on board with you. In fact, my other honorable mention was going to be, I call it Treetop Tales with C-3PO. It's when he's telling all the story of how they got to where they are, doing all the sounds. That's one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, that's great. And you get to see the baby Ewoks.
Yeah.
But speaking of...
It brings it back. And it's a memory that you can, like, latch onto.
Yeah, absolutely. So my official number three has got to be the Battle of Hoth.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people would probably think it'd be higher up. But the Battle of Hoth, Luke, you know, first of all, Luke's kind of a jerk during this battle because he's flying and his co-pilot's behind him and he's like, oh, I'm having trouble here. And Luke's like, just hold on a minute. And then the dude gets like shot. And it's like, well, where's the force on that one, bud?
That tends to happen in the movies.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, if you don't have a big name, you're probably going to get shot at some point. But tripping the AT-ATs, always great.
Yep.
Luke going up onto the one and cutting a hole in it with the lightsaber and tossing the grenade. It's awesome. Thermal detonator, sorry. Great scene. The second. See, it's tough for me.
I know. I hear you. I hear you.
On one and two. Okay, so I gotta kind of cheat.
Okay.
the visual of the lightsaber battle on Cloud City, my favorite shot of the entire film is when Darth Vader is standing on the platform with the steps with the red light, and it's very smoky in the carbon freezing chamber.
Yeah.
And Luke Skywalker slowly walks up the stairs, and you can just kind of see him in silhouette. And Darth Vader lights up his red lightsaber, and Luke takes his stance and turns on his lightsaber. And there's a split second where they're just standing there in silhouette with the red stairs and the smoke. It's just like, we've been waiting for this moment. Dude. It's such an amazing shot, and the following scene is incredible, and you get so many great Darth Vader quotes of impressive, most impressive. So good, and Darth Vader saber throwing and doing all sorts of stuff.
Dude, that is a great pull.
Yeah.
Because that specific scene is so powerful.
Yeah. It's just anticipation and build up. And then they just kind of do a little bit of like 1-2.
Yeah, they're one, like two, sizing three. Each other yeah. up almost. You know?
It's so great.
It's so good.
And then one has got to kind of be a mixture. Because of course there's the revelation of I Am Your Father, which is the most mind blowing scene. Period.
Right. If you didn't know, if you hadn't seen him, it would be insane.
It's nuts. I surprised my daughter with it, and the look on her face was amazing when she watched those movies with me.
I can't wait.
Yeah, you're gonna have so much fun.
Finley has a Star Wars book.
Mm-hmm.
That has all the buttons and sounds and stuff.
Yeah.
And we read it all the time, and it's got the original trilogy. Nice. So it tells the tale of the A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, and then all the sounds that accompany it. And so I can't wait till he's old enough to see the movies.
Yeah, when he's old enough, you're going to have to skip over the Vader's Luke's dad's part.
Ooh, yeah.
Also along with that scene kind of tied is that last shot of Luke with his arm around Leia watching Lando take off with Chewie and the Millennium Falcon through the galaxy, and Luke has the robotic hand, because it just shows like the heroes don't always win.
Right.
Like there are losses and casualties in wars.
And, yeah, and he's like leaning on her pretty hard.
Yeah.
Like he's weak. He's
yep.
defeated.
Yep. And it just kind of ends with this idea that there's been a crazy revelation and you don't know where it's going to go at that point, which of course is great for all films. I guess some other honorable mentions would be Leia saving Luke by him contacting her and she picks him up. Of course, you have just all sorts of great scenes with Lando on Cloud City and all the strange goings on there. And of course, you have the dude carrying the ice cream maker when Cloud City's going to, like, when everything's going down and Darth Vader's blowing up all this stuff, and you see everyone in Cloud City running around.
Yeah.
In the background, there's a guy. There's actually an action figure made for him. He's wearing an orange jumpsuit, and okay. he goes sprinting by. You can Google it. Just Google Empire Strikes Back ice cream maker, because the guy's running by carrying this funky white thing.
Yeah.
And once you notice it, you can't unsee it. And apparently someone watched it in the movie and looked it up in a Sears catalog, and it is an ice cream maker. They made no changes.
I had no idea.
They made no changes to the prop whatsoever, just because they were kind of like, it looks kind of spacey. And I forget the character's
name.
That's awesome. With the action figure, they actually gave the character a name. But and it comes with a little ice cream maker thing. You can see the guy running by, and it's hilarious.
I didn't know that. I'm going to have to look for that.
Yeah, you got to look that up.
I also really like the dinner setting when Darth Vader comes in.
Oh, yeah.
That's because a great scene.
He blocks the shots and takes the gun, and he's like, would you join us for dinner or whatever? Like, he's so cocky and powerful, and like,
love it.
You just don't mess with him.
That's the Empire Strikes Back is when we first see Vader out of his suit, right?
sort of, yeah, you get a glimpse of his head.
Yeah. I was just thinking about, I don't know why I was thinking about that. I was just thinking about it because of Return of the Jedi when you actually get to see him.
Mm.
But I wanted to mention one more thing, and I'm sure we've all seen it, but it just, when I saw it again, I was like, ah, yes. It's the scene during the Return of the Jedi when they're doing the lightsaber duel, Vader and Luke. And he's hiding, right?
Yeah.
And he's hiding behind this some sort of structural pole or something, right?
Yeah.
He's got his lightsaber down so he doesn't have it on. But on his face, there is a blue light and a red light. And it's perfectly split down the middle. And you have to wonder if it's on purpose. And I'm sure that somebody has already mentioned this before and that I'm not the first one. But that moment is like a struggle, I think, for him, like a visual representation of his struggle between the light and the dark side.
Just like in Force Awakens with Kylo Ren.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I remember specifically that part.
Well, that's my scene because we have a bonus question.
Oh, okay.
Bonus question. Your favorite scene from The Force Awakens?
Ooh, I have to think about it a little bit, but it's definitely probably when they go to Maz,
really?
In the tavern or whatever. In I really love the play between Rey and Han Solo, and especially the play between Finn and Rey in that scene. I feel like is really important. It felt the most like the original Star Wars in that scene when you got to see all those different aliens and all the different, like, it felt like they were actually adding to the lore, and Maz's place was really cool.
Yeah.
So I think I'd have to say that was my favorite scene.
Nice.
That's a great, really great movie. As many people keep, like, I feel like it's kind of popular to bash on that movie.
That's ridiculous.
But I really liked it, and I still think it's good, and I think people are a little too harsh on it.
Yeah, it's high up there. It's in my top three of the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, so anyhow.
All right. So Chris stole yours.
Chris stole mine. But he didn't steal the specific part, actually.
Okay.
So when they're in Maz's place, when Rey goes down into the sort of basement area and she finds the lightsaber, that's my favorite scene in the movie.
Chilling.
Really anything to do with Rey more than anything in the movie. I know that other people have more favorite characters like Finn and Poe and Kylo, but I find that she's like one of the more powerful characters in the movie, even though she's a little bit more soft-spoken, and you really only get a lot more of her action at the end. She's childish in a way, or rather adolescent in a way, but she's sort of like wise as well. And so when she picks up that lightsaber and the realization of that flash that you see, where she sees like all sorts of crazy stuff. That I think is probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie. And second is also to do with her, since Chris already mentioned this one. Is when she goes, she's on the planet. I can't remember. I'm sorry. She goes back to her home basically, and she's got all these little trinkets around. And she puts the helmet on.
Oh, Jakku?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that scene. It brings her down to earth because you know that she's going to be such a prominent figure later. If you've already seen the movie and you've seen it again, you know how important that scene is.
Yeah.
Because you see, like, how lost and broken and hurt and alone she is. And how she clings on to her family, and that they're going to come back and all of that kind of stuff. And also with that is just her determination to stay in a place like that. So I would say that is my, I guess, my second favorite scene.
Yeah.
Did you already tell Chris what yours was?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Because it's really tough for me to pick one. There's so many great scenes.
I don't know about that, but...
Oh, dude, there's so many great scenes. During the big battle when the X-Wings show up at Maz's, and it shows Finn running around watching Poe fly overhead shooting down the X-Wings, and he's like, that's one hell of a pilot. Like, the way that they filmed that sweeping across, it gives a lot of scope for how big that battle was and how awesome it was. I loved it.
I like that, too, but I also have a problem with the... just being able to pick up a lightsaber, so that scene kind of gets a little...
Well, he was trained, if you think about the other stormtroopers and those shock batons and all that, he's been trained in hand-to-hand to become a stormtrooper. So, I mean, a lightsaber is a little bit different.
Yeah, but a lightsaber is a Jedi's weapon.
Yeah, it is a little bit...
lying around.
It is a little bit different. But I think he would be able to wield it on that basic sense. I think there's something more with Finn that we'll see.
Basic, yes, but... Okay, anyway.
Use combat training.
I have some problems with that movie, and I love it. I don't get me wrong, but I just have some real problems with it. It's mostly about lightsabers and the Force and the way that they use it in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great scene. It is really, really beautifully shot.
I think in this movie, it will explain all that Mary Sue stuff that people are talking about. Because I have theories, and I'm pretty sure I'm right.
All right.
So it'll be good, and it'll shut those people up. And then there's also Kylo Ren trying to grab the lightsaber from the snow, and it flips past him, and Rey grabs it. I goosebumps, tear up every single time she catches that lightsaber and then turns it on. I love, 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 love that moment. When she finally finds Luke and goes to hand him the lightsaber, and she's like... crying and like kind of looking at him like there's just a look of desperation and I can't believe this is happening right now, and Luke's look of like, ah, shit, this is finally happening, like, ah, a great scene. But the one I gotta pick, since you kind of alluded to a red and blue style on Luke in Empire, the scene where Han Solo dies.
Okay.
It took me about 6 viewings to catch it, and I was actually at a movie in the park when it was happening, and I was like yelling in the park about really? This scene, yeah, because I saw it and I was like, this is genius. When they're on the bridge and Kylo's talking to him, and the Starkiller base is sucking up the planet or the sun, and there is a blue light shining from the hole that they caused. Shining in from the balcony, and there's the red light of all the emergency lights and stuff within the facility that the Empire built. And when Kylo takes his helmet off and he's talking to Han Solo, he starts describing how he feels like he's being torn apart and he needs his help with something. In that moment, on his right shoulder, there's the blue light from outside, and on his left shoulder, there's the red light from inside, and it's kind of on his face as well. And as he gets more into his speech and he holds out his lightsaber, you can see both lights very clearly on either shoulder and kind of on his face. And then as they're both holding it and the sun goes out, the red takes over the entire screen and takes over Kylo's face. Oh. And he stabs Han Solo.
Wow.
So it
I don't
is...
think I really noticed the... You know, it's funny because I just noticed it in Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And so they're reusing that as like a... in a good way.
Yeah, it is the perfect representation of the inner conflict. Just in this scene, you get to see the completion of it, which I love. And of course, another honorable mention is Kylo putting his helmet into that stand. Which love that scene, because what that stand is and what's inside of it isn't really explained, except by J.J. Abrams in different interviews.
I know, I wish it was explained in the movie, because it would have had such a better impact on me.
Yeah, with the ashes of his victims and stuff. So crazy.
I know, I love it, but man, I wish they would have said something in the movie.
Yeah, I wish that movie was like 3 hours long so we could get all the information that they wanted to get in there. But
I agree with that.
Yeah.
They are going to release, or maybe they already have, they were going to do a director's cut, right?
I think so. Something with like extended special features and all that kind of stuff, which some of that was online for a little bit, and I got to see a deleted scene with Chewbacca.
Oh, really?
Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh, man. The CG's not finished on it, but it's at Maz's castle, and Rey is walking by. I think it's just after she talked to Finn, and guess who grabs her arm and shows up?
Mm-hmm.
Unkar Plutt. Awesome.
What?
Yeah, Unkar Plutt shows up and grabs her arm, and he's like, you need to come back with me. He's like, you stole my ship, I tracked you here, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, no, no, no. And she tries getting out of the way, and she tells him to take his hands off her, and he grabs her and, like, pulls her in, and he's got, like, a gun. And Chewbacca comes up and grabs his arm and stomps on his foot and rips his arm off and throws it across the room.
Dude.
So we finally get to see a Chewbacca arm rip.
Why didn't they put that in the movie?
I know! It's maddening.
Dang it!
But,
you always hear about that.
I know.
The very first, you know, A New Hope.
Yep.
When they're playing chess.
Yep.
Or whatever that game was.
Yeah, the holo chess thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was... it's pretty
that's
awesome.
That's amazing.
Anyway, I think that'll do it for our show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram. Go to our website, filmnerd.com. Check us out. And keep listening. We're back, so expect more shows.
Yes, we are back, and we're going to try to... to keep up on it a little bit better than we have. You know, obviously we were abducted, there was nothing we could do about it, and I don't think I'm gonna have another breadstick for at least 15 days.
I can get behind that. Yep.
Well, check out our other podcast, Perception Check, and listen to this one, and then listen to them from the beginning.
Yeah, definitely.
And then enjoy yourself.
Yep. And, peace out, Film Narkians.
Bye.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.